Okay. Yeah. Okay, like Father, like Son, I'll go through that. Looking at the Son of God, Keith spoke on it last week from God the Father's perspective and called his talk like Father, like Son. And the writer to the Hebrews says that Jesus was the brightness of his Father's glory and the express image or the exact representation of his Father's person. And as Son of God, Jesus exhibited his Father's image, his likeness, and his attributes. And when sin came in, sin marred the image of God in us. And when we get saved, that is God beginning to restore his image in us so that we reflect something of our Father's glory. In fact, Jesus even told his disciple Philip, "Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." Keith also said that there are two types of children on this earth, children of God and children of the devil. And we who call ourselves Christians or children of God should exhibit our Father's image and likeness in us. And I think it was Sandra or Pat or somebody was saying at the Bible study on Wednesday night how often somebody would say, "Oh, are you a Christian?" Because they've seen something either in us or we see someone and think straight away they're a Christian because we see something. We don't necessarily know what it is, but that's a reflection of the Father's image. And so this week, our Knowing Jesus title is Christ, one of the most commonly used and abused titles of Jesus. Now, for those who maybe don't understand, Jesus Christ, Christ's not Jesus' surname. You know, I hear people who think that Judas Iscariot, you know, Iscariot is a surname. It just means Judas Iscariot is man from the Kyriotes, which is up around Haifa. It's not his surname either. So Christ is not Jesus' surname. The word Christ is the Greek equivalent of the Hebrew word which we've been singing here, Mashiach or Messiah, and it means anointed one. Jesus Christ means Jesus, anointed one, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. I know when Rocky's here, he loves when we sing that song, Yeshua HaMashiach. But remember what we've said about everything in the Old Testament pointing to Jesus. God promised that his Messiah, his anointed one, his Christ, would come and he would be a future Davidic king whose kingdom would be established forever. And God gave many different clues to help people identify him. Among other things, we were told he would be a son of David who would open the eyes of the blind. And that's why mostly in the New Testament you find that it's blind people who use the term son of David. That he would be a high priest, that he would be a man of sorrows, that he would be led like a lamb to the slaughter, and that he would die for the sins of his people. However, although the Jewish people awaited their promised Messiah, they failed to recognize Jesus as God's Messiah, the Christ, because they had their own views on what Messiah would be. We just sung that when we looked at the song El Shaddai. As the Apostle John writes, he, Jesus, he came to his own, but his own, the Jews, did not receive him. Israel's view of their Messiah was and is that he would be a king and a great deliverer, and they reject any idea of him being a God-man or having any significant role as either a prophet or a priest. And because they don't believe in the Trinity of the Godhead, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Jewish people believe that the Messiah's task is to usher in the Messianic age, a future period on earth in which the Messiah will reign and bring worldwide peace. And therefore, from their perspective, any so-called Messiah who is killed by crucifixion or any other means before completing the task of bringing in the Messianic age cannot be the Messiah of Israel. The Jewish people believed in a promised Messiah, but they misunderstood what he was coming to do. In the days of Jesus, they believed Messiah, the Christ, would come to set up a kingdom on earth and deliver them from the Romans. But Jesus Christ came to deliver them from a captivity much worse than their bondage to Rome. Jesus Christ came to deliver them and us from bondage to Satan, sin, and death. The Old Testament foretold God would send a chosen one, a Messiah, a Christ, to save the world from sin. And from Genesis right through to Malachi, clues were given as to his identity. In fact, God says that those who seek me with all of their heart will surely find me. And God was also saying that if you look with all of your heart, you'll find. God spoke through David and declared that his Messiah, his Christ, would be his only son. In Psalm 2, verse 7, God said through David, I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. God's son would be the Messiah of Israel, the Christ. And although Jesus is God's son, he had to humble himself to become a servant. And so we sang this morning, the Servant King. Before he could begin his ministry of servanthood, he needed to be anointed. He had to be anointed because he was also to be the high priest. And so to be the high priest, he had to receive this anointing. And so this was also given as a clue in the Word of God prior to Jesus coming. In Isaiah chapter 61, Isaiah chapter 61 says this, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. That was in Isaiah. Turn now, please, to chapter 3 of Matthew in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 3, reading from verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and are you coming to me? But Jesus answered and said to him, permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him. And when Jesus had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now let me read you that again. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were open to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Jesus, as God's appointed great high priest, was anointed to serve, but he was not anointed with oil like the other high priests before him in the temple and in the tabernacle. They were anointed with oil. Rather, Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit of God. And the service of the Son, or the service of the Son's servant, the Christ, the anointed one, was fourfold. Firstly, he was called to be a servant. And you can read that in Isaiah chapter 42. I'll read it out to you. Isaiah chapter 42, verses 6 and 7. And in this, again, you see I'm trying to find it. In this again, you see Jesus told about in the Old Testament, now fulfilling the prophecy. So in Isaiah 42, we read these words. I, the Lord, verses 6 and 7, I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness and will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the Gentiles, to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the prison, those who sit in darkness from the prison house. He was called to be a servant. Secondly, he was called to be a prophet. And again, you read about this in Deuteronomy chapter 18. All of these are so important, as you'll see in a moment, why the Lord was appointing Jesus, his only son, to be the Messiah of Israel. And so in Deuteronomy chapter 18, and we're reading from verse 15, God speaking to Moses said these words, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet," with a capital P, "a prophet like me from your midst." This is Moses passing on God's word. "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren. Him you shall hear. According to all you have desired the Lord your God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, 'Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, nor let me see this great fire any more, lest I die.' And the Lord said to me, 'What they have spoken is good. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brethren, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command.'" If you turn then again to Hebrews, I'm just picking out these verses here for you for a reason. And in Hebrews chapter 4, you find that thirdly, the son's servant was called to be a priest, and we've looked at that. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." And finally, you turn to Zechariah and chapter 9. It's in the Old Testament, Zechariah chapter 9. And you find that Jesus was called to be a king. Chapter 9 and verse 9. "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." So the servant of God, the son servant, the Christ, the anointed one, was called to be a servant, called to be a prophet, called to be a priest, and called to be a king. And the fundamental goal of the Son of God, of the Christ, as a servant, prophet, priest, and king, was to make God known to man. People think the fundamental goal of Jesus coming into the world was to die for sins. That was what he had to do to fulfill his goal. The fundamental goal of Jesus was to make God known to man and enable man to know God. And the combination of these, making God known to man and enabling man to know God, if fulfilled by the Son servant, would establish God's kingdom among men. I mean, we should be amazed when we read the words of Christ, the Son servant, the prophet, priest, and king, when he said, "The Son of Man," another title, "the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many." That's exactly what he, the Son of God, came to do, to be a servant, to serve. And we see a wonderful example of that with Jesus, with his disciples, disrobing and putting a towel around his waist and washing his disciples' feet. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. Jesus, the Christ, the anointed one, was anointed to serve. But let's look briefly at the fourfold service of Jesus. As a servant, the Bible shows that Jesus knew from a very early age that he must be about his Father's business. Do you remember his mum and dad took him up to Jerusalem? He was 12 years of age. And then they were heading back home having worshipped the Lord. And they had gone a day's journey and then suddenly realized that Jesus wasn't with them. And they went into a flap and went back to Jerusalem looking for him. And where did they find him? In the temple, talking away to the religious leaders and astonishing them by the questions and the answers that he was giving. And they said, "What, do you not know? You freaked us out. We thought you were with us and we were on our way home and we didn't know what had happened to you." And he just simply turned to them and said, "Did you not know that I have to be about my Father's business?" So from a very early age, Jesus knew that he was called to be a servant. However, in the eternal plan of God, although he was always the Messiah, it was only when Jesus was around about 30 years old that he was specifically anointed by the Holy Spirit to begin his service. Jesus knew he came not to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. So that baptism, when he said to John the Baptist, "Look, permit it now, you baptize me," it was all part of the plan. It was all part of God's tapestry of what was happening. And that when Jesus came up out of the water, the Holy Spirit came in the form of a dove, and that was the anointing for his service. That was the anointing for his ministry, so that he could serve the living God, the Father, and serve those that he had come to ransom. Secondly, as a prophet, Old Testament prophets were called by God to foretell future events and to tell forth truths about God. Jesus foretold future events. That's enough to make him a prophet. But he also taught people the truths of God. And so you skip the sermons on the mount, you get all of the wonderful teachings of Jesus. And that made him the true prophet that God had promised Moses that he would raise up, a prophet like you. And as the prophets of old, Jesus also healed the sick and even raised people from the dead. But unlike other prophets, Jesus not only prophesied events, but Jesus was actually the fulfillment of many of the prophecies. And that was the difference between him and all of the other prophets, is that Jesus didn't just foretell events, he himself was actually the fulfillment of many of the prophecies. He was the promised prophet God spoke to Moses about. Thirdly, priest. Well, we saw recently in our look at the great high priest that every Old Testament high priest pointed to Jesus Christ as the great high priest who could relate to, understand, and sympathize with those he came to represent. And that's why Jesus was also called a man of sorrows. It wasn't just that he was a miserable person. He was called man of sorrows because he bore our griefs. He could relate to us. He understood our sufferings. He endured everything that you and I are called to endure, but he did it without sin. And we've seen in Hebrews last week that Jesus cried out with great cries, vehement cries and tears to God. You never read that in the gospel. When did he do it? He did this, I believe, in his own quiet times with God. He went away to lonely places, to solitary places, and there, I believe, he broke his heart before God as he carried the sorrows and the grief and the afflictions of this world. He was a high priest. He was the great high priest who could understand, who could relate to, who could be there for his people because he knew what they were going through. And yet, as our great high priest, He perfectly offered himself as a sacrifice for sin, making atonement for us. And the Bible says, passed through the heavens to sit at God's right hand, ever living to make intercession for us. By offering himself, Jesus opened the way to God, for people to know God and to love God. The fourth role of the servant son was king. King. Jesus was the promised, prophesied king of the Jews who entered Jerusalem riding on a donkey. Incredible to think, you know, when kings and queens have their state visits these days in any other country, there's all the razzmatazz and pomp and circumstance and whatever else. And you look at the President of the United States, if he goes, there's this entourage of flash motors, flags and everything, and great crowds. There were great crowds in Jerusalem, but Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, a borrowed donkey. In fact, even Pilate's inscription for this king, even Pilate's inscription nailed on the cross above Jesus' head read, "This is Jesus, King of the Jews." So here was the king riding into Jerusalem in a donkey, and here he is nailed to a cross with the inscription above his head, "This is Jesus, King of the Jews." Well, you know, Jesus has always been king, but now it has been revealed to us, the children of God, that he really is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so, to call Jesus Christ means so much more than just a mistaken surname. To call Jesus Christ is to acknowledge him to be God's Son. It is to acknowledge him to be God's anointed one, the Messiah, the prophet, priest, and king, who came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. Christian, we are supposed to be just like Jesus, because we're of the same family, like father, like son, like father, like daughter, you know, we're of the same family. And we too, like Jesus, are anointed to serve. We have received the Holy Spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit who anoints us to firstly serve the Lord and then serve him by serving others. Our ministries, our service, must always be to glorify Jesus Christ and honor our Father in heaven. So Christian, whatever calling you think you have, whatever ministry you think you have, or just simply being a Christian, you're acknowledging the Son of God. You're acknowledging the Messiah. You're acknowledging the Anointed One as the prophet, priests, and king. But you're saying, I am like him because I am of him, and I too will serve the Lord by serving others. Maybe there's someone this morning here or listening to our podcast who's not yet a believer, not yet a Christian. Well, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came into the world to die for you. He didn't come to be served, as you've heard, but he came to give his life as a ransom for you, to buy you back. Will you accept Jesus Christ as the Christ, the anointed of God, who loved you and gave himself for you? Because unless you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you cannot know God. It is only through Jesus. That was his purpose. He came into the world to make God known to man and man to know God. Without Jesus Christ as your Savior, you cannot know God and you cannot enter into heaven. I urge you to repent, turn around, turn from your sin, and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your word this morning. We want to thank you for the title Christ given to Jesus. It tells us that he is your son, your anointed one, the Messiah. It tells us, Lord, that his servant heart was to serve others, not himself. That as a prophet, a priest, and a king, he fulfilled those functions wonderfully. We thank you that he is now seated at your right hand and he is the King of Kings. And we know that one day soon the King of Kings shall return to gather those that are his unto himself. We ask, Lord, please, until that day comes, that we, the children of God, would be just like you. That we, Lord God, would not want to serve our own needs, but by the power of your Holy Spirit, we would serve our God by serving others. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.